This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank everyone. Yesterday, right here, it was such a difficult time. You know, we had a family, one of our preschool teachers, one of our teachers in the school, her grandbaby, Mrs. No, died at 3 years old. And just right here, just that little casket that we had, and to see a mom and a dad, such a young couple. And, you know, this family was completely blessed by this ministry. We've been taking food to them from when this death happened. They have food for a couple of weeks. And we don't need to take that lightly, because that moves in a family's life. And, you know, I've always been able to say I've lost a lot, but I've never lost a child. And to see this couple just cry, and to see that. And I just want to thank the guys that came yesterday to support, the ushers that were here to bring order. And this is going to go a long way. We need to continue to keep this family, the father's name's Dylan, the wife's name's Christina, in prayer. And we're going to continue to reach out to them, continue to love them, continue to believe with them, believe for them, and see the Lord. I also just want to bring the body to the attention of continuing to pray for Jumi's husband. We don't get to see him very much because he's a doctor in the Bahamas, but he's really been sent home with cancer, and he has a few other types of treatments, but we are believing and standing alongside with Jumi that we're going to see him healed. And, you know, I know this, that the Lord has always told me and taught me, when I see something like the three-year-old child that died, or I see cancer, to stand and to stand strong and to hear from heaven. Amen. That a lot of times my words are not going to have a lot of effect, other than I'm here and I'm going to stand with you. Amen. But let heaven start speaking. Let heaven start speaking into those things. And we're going to really do some prayer as a body coming up on a few Sundays, and just really intercede for these things that are going on. We're also believing, again, for Reuben Cantu to be healed. And I just want you just again to have another level of faith arise, ask the Lord, and then another level of going and seeing that family and going. If a few of you guys can go this week and just pray, and we'll be going, and you know, just another level. Amen? Amen. Come on. You know, I've always said this: if I'm in the hospital, don't come to me feeling sorry for me. Come to me believing with me. Come on. Don't come for me and just try to, you come and you believe. If you can't believe with me, don't come. Amen. Because I know the Lord is the Lord of healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as we come together today, I'm going to speak just a few minutes about sight. And I praise the Lord for being able to see. Amen. I praise the Lord for sight, to be able to see. And I have to say this, that this book right here, this book is a spiritual book. Can you believe that a book is outlawed in countries of this world? Oh, you can bring a gun into this country, but don't bring that book. Oh, you can bring this stuff, but don't bring the book. And you know, this is just not any book. There's scriptures in here that says that if everything that Jesus did was recorded, that it would contain every book that we've ever read. That's how many things that he's done. You know, so the thing is that we have to understand, and we have to know that this is a spiritual book speaking to a spiritual person. It's not just speaking to my natural person. Praise the Lord, you can read things like Proverbs, and it's so powerful. You can get some things out of this if you're just looking at your natural eyes. But if you can turn on your spiritual eyes, let me tell you, the first thing that you're going to do, if you can turn on spiritual eyes to this book, you're going to know that there's a God that created it. You're going to know that I'm nobody in front of this. And you're going to know that I'm just very elementary in this book, no matter how long, no matter how much I have. I'll never forget my dad studying this book all of my life, my whole life. And we're talking about just shutting up in a room for 8-9 hours studying and allowing revelation to come to him. But I'll never forget him coming out and having such a expression of surprise, such an expression like a child just going into like a candy store, knowing that he's just very beginning at the studying of this book. That's how the level of this book, the spiritualness that can come out of this. Amen? I want to turn to Genesis chapter 16. Before we start talking about seeing with our natural spiritual eyes, we have to understand something. We have to understand that God sees. We have to understand the Hebrew name for God is He sees, El Rohi. And I want to just show you just quickly, and we're going to move forward in Genesis chapter 16, talking about Abram and Sarai. Let's look at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Now, you know, this doesn't give a lot about Hagar. It just says that she's the maid, the servant. And, you know, one of her top servants, she has many, many servants, but Hagar's made it to the place of serving Sarah. So she's been lifted up. We know that she's from Egypt. You know that Abram and Sarai went into Egypt, and Abram said, "Remember, I'm going to tell them that you're my sister, because I don't want them to steal. I don't want to be killed because you're so beautiful." And Pharaoh took Sarai into the home of his home. And before the plagues of Moses, we're going to see plagues that happened in Egypt, because God wanted Pharaoh to release Sarai. And there was plagues until he released him. And Pharaoh saw how big God was and how big the God was that they served. And he released not only Sarah and Abram, but he gave them servants. And many people, and I'm not going to say this because the word doesn't say it, many people say that Hagar was Pharaoh's daughter. And he gave them his daughter because he wanted her to see the God that they served. So she was someone there that was a servant. We also know that in reading this, that Hagar is going to have a pretty big role in the religion of Islam. And Ishmael is going to have a huge role in Islam. Many people call her the mother of Islam. So let's get back to this. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Verse 4, he slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible." Isn't that something? You're the one. You know, I'll just say this. You know, I praise the Lord for God giving us wives, and I praise the Lord that He made women. But this just lets us understand and know we're never going to be able to understand women, aren't we? It's your fault. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress, and Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now she knows she is pregnant and despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." This is what Abram said. "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think is best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar. Hagar fled from her. The angel of the Lord. Now, verse 7, when it speaks a lot about the angel of the Lord. Do you know who that is? It's Jesus. Then Jesus found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur, which that's on the road back to Egypt. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai," these are pretty powerful questions, "where have you come from and where are you going?" If you look at this more deeply, he's pretty much saying, "What have I brought you out of and where are you going?" Do you know, many times we find ourselves on a path back to where we used to go, where we used to be. And I'm so thankful that Jesus himself, it's kind of amazing that Jesus, the angel of the Lord, was sent to Hagar, just was sent to a nation of Islam, was sent before. See, God sees all things, was sent before to her. And it was Jesus himself with so much compassion and speaking to her and loving her. If we could just stop sometimes and we can just continue to realize and have revelation of this, what has he brought you out of? See, when I get that revelation and I hear that, just like my friend said the other night, I can do a happy dance. I don't know about you. See, when I get the revelation and I continue to realize what he's brought me out of, then I can always trust him that wherever I'm at, he's going to continue the bringing me out process. Are you with me today? Hagar, what have I brought you out of, and where are you going? This is what she says. I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. Let's look at 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one that sees me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, before we can even get to this book of being spiritual, we have to understand and we have to know that God sees us, and we have to have a revelation that he's the God that sees. I now see that you're the God that sees. And you know, you understand what I talk about with revelation. I like to talk about this little thing. If I have a piece of cheesecake right here, cream brulee cheesecake. I'm starting to name it now. And I can tell you all about it, how good it is. I can preach to you about this piece of cheesecake. But you're not going to get a revelation until you take a piece for yourself and you eat it. Do you really have a revelation that God sees you? God sees when no one else sees. God is there. And you know, we understand like having a mom that sees a lot, because I did. She could see when other people couldn't see. She knew when things were happening when no one else did. But God even sees more than her. So are you with me this morning? She called that place the place where God sees, El Rohi, the God that sees. Father, I just pray even now, Father, that we would have that revelation, God, this week, God, today, whenever we can receive that, that you are the God that sees. Father, I thank you, Father, that you have seen me since I've been born and even before that. God, that you know every step of my pathway. God, that you know today, tomorrow, the next day. God, you know the day that you called me home. Father, you know all the plans and all the purposes that you have for me. You hand-wove me in my mother's womb. You blew breath into me. Father, and my heart is beating and my lungs are breathing because you've given it to me. Father, you will see me today. You'll see me this afternoon. God, you'll see me all the days of my life to that one day that I stand in front of those eyes and you see me face to face. Father, let that be a revelation today, God, that you are the God that sees. Thank you, Father. We cannot see here, we cannot see or hear. We miss out on the heart of God's word if we cannot see and we cannot hear. This defines spiritual blindness, and even Jesus' disciples were not exempt from having spiritual blindness. So many times Jesus would just say in red letters, why don't you understand? Yet to have the full picture of what God wants to teach us or show us, we must have open eyes and ears. God, open my eyes and open my ears. We need to set aside pride. We need to repent from sin and leave rebellion behind. Jesus came so that we could see. He wants us all to receive the spiritual revelation he has for each one of us. Besides Jesus, which person in the Bible intrigues you most? We have to understand, we have to see, we have to know that he's the God that comes and opens up blind eyes. Today, There are many people that are focused on the Lord. There are many people that are pursuing the Lord. But there are many people in this room that have blind eyes and cannot hear what's going on spiritually. There's sounds going from heaven all the time, and many of us just pass them by. You know, I don't know about you, but even today I was waving to one of the young guys here. I haven't seen him, and he's like looking straight at me, and I'm like waving at him. He's like looking at me, and I'm like, man, he must be upset. Then he puts his head down. He looks at me like, oh. Do you know there's really things that we're looking at, but sometimes we can't even see it? We can look at this word, and we can study it, and we can do all these things. Just like some of those scriptures we just read in John, we can amen them. But see, God wants us to see what's happening spiritually and to hear what's happening spiritually. He's given us a word, and it's a spiritual book to a spiritual person, and we have to open up spiritual eyes. Are you with me today? I would always go to my father, and I would say, Dad, I just need to hear God. Have you ever been in that place? I need to hear him. I need a word from God. And he would every time look at me and he would say, are you reading your word? Because 97% of what he's spoken to me has come right through here. Why? Because it's a spiritual book. And this book, when we see spiritually, it comes out at me. And guess what it does? It turns a mirror on my life. This book never comes out to me spiritually and it points to my wife. This book never comes out to me spiritually and I say, oh my gosh, there's Bob. Never. It comes to me and it shows me myself. With my spiritual eyes, my spiritual ears. And then I need to know that I'm a man in front of a God, a spiritual God. Let me tell you something. This is not Jesus, just my homeboy. This is not Jesus, just my friend. This is not Jesus, just he's just with me and we can do these things and I can listen to what I want to listen to. Jesus, you just sit in the car. I'm going to go into the liquor. Come on. This is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. This is the one that sits right next to the right hand of the Father. This is the one that stood when Stephen was being stoned by real rocks, clapping his hands at his son Stephen, saying, Stephen, I'm well pleased with you. Stephen, you have a place for you. Stephen, I'm pleased. We can't water down Jesus Christ. We can't water down this book. We can't just think we have it. We have to know as a child, Jesus says for us to come. And we have to come with humility. And we have to come to this book. And we have to ask him to give us spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. Holy Spirit, you come and you help me. God, I don't want to just read this to read it. I don't want to just live this to live it. God, I want my life to make a mark. And the only way that my life's going to make a mark, if I can see, if my eyes can see spiritually. I'm here to tell you. Yesterday, before that funeral, I'm preparing. And when I saw that young mother just rocking with that little baby's blanket, I couldn't even put myself there. But I knew she's a mother. And all mothers that's had a three-year-old, you could not even comprehend losing that baby. And I knew this, Pastor, I knew this. That there was no words that I could say. That there was nothing naturally that I could do. But I had to tap into God as a spirit. I had to tap into the spiritual God. And I had to say spiritual things. He's the one that knows. See, this is his daughter. And this one that was laying in this casket was his. And he's taking care of her. And he will take care of her. But if I'm just doing this naturally, I would have quit a long time ago. Because I can naturally do a lot of things with my hands, but I can't naturally serve Christ. And I can't naturally be a leader for Christ because I fell miserably. Spiritual blindness steals our understanding. We cannot understand the Bible if we are spiritually blind. There's a physical issue, but this isn't physically. I'm not speaking today about the blind that have lost sight, natural sight. I'm not speaking to the deaf that can't hear. We're speaking to spiritual eyes that are closed. I want to look at a few scriptures. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 5:21. We're going to go through a few scriptures. I got a clock back there blinking, and Brother David Bro is going to point to it here in a minute. You know, they put the clock up, but I have to tell you, my clock's eternal. My stomach growls at 11:55. I don't need a clock. I understand that first growl. 5:21. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there today. Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. We're going to be able to show you, and I'm not going to go through a lot, but I could show you the rest of the day about this thing that we're speaking about blindness, about spiritual blindness. Let's look at Ezekiel 12:2 just quickly. Praise the Lord. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. I mean, what does it let us know? That if rebellion's in our life, guess what? We're not going to be able to see, and we're not going to be able to hear. Zephaniah 1:17, and I'm going quickly through this because I want to press forward. You want to just jot these scriptures down and go to them. You're going to be able to find this all through the Bible. This is not just something I'm just pulling out. We can go to every book and look at this. Zephaniah 1:17, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Most of the people that we're dealing with out in the world are blind. Do you remember when you were blind?
Yes.
Do you remember when someone would come to you and they would share something and you would just think, you're crazy. That ain't going to work with me. You're a fanatic. Yeah. But look who the fanatic is now. Because what they shared opened up your spiritual ears and something, some way, you've done something. And now God is calling us to go out. And you might say, well, what do we do to this lost and dying world that's blind, that has a delusion around them, that can't hear? What do we do? What we do is we take the word of God and we take our spiritual arsenal and we go, come on, and we possess the land. And that's a whole nother sermon for another day. But we possess the land on the outside for us to be able to possess the land on the in the inside, to possess the land on the outside. You've heard that preached from this pulpit for many, many years. The land of the soul. The land of possessing back what the enemy tried to do. And receive spiritual healing on the inside to be able to go out and possess the land. See, I don't want to go out and possess the land on the outside when I have all this junk going on the inside of me. Come on. I don't want to go out and just say, hey, I'm just coming in the name of the Lord, but I'm a very weak vessel. It'd be best for me just to read the word, just like we did a while ago. Hey, wait. I just want to read you something. Just read word from it and turn around and trust what the Lord says this word will do with someone. The two things that contribute to spiritual blindness that we see is rebellion and we see pride. Rebellion and pride. And you know what? Every man that's in here, every woman that's in here has to deal and continue to deal with pride. Yes. Yes. The word is full of it. We can just be off a little bit, and without humbling ourselves, without humility, we can find ourselves just sitting up on a pedestal. And without, if we're not careful, there's going to be a huge fall that's coming. What humbles ourselves? What brings humility? Accountability does. What humbles ourselves? What brings humility? Knowing that I'm not the one, but I serve the one. And I'm his son, but he's the one. Where everything in my life should what point to him. If you're looking at me, let me just show you with a big red line sign. No, it's him. I couldn't have done anything. If you're looking at me, I'm going to fail you. If you're looking at me, I'm going to disappoint you. Look through me and see Jesus. He's the one. Let's look just quickly at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 14. We're going to read a few scriptures here. And this is a prophecy that's been fulfilled. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears have heard, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Man, we need to catch what's going on right here. This is so powerful that we can see this. So with their eyes and ears, they cannot hear. So guess what? They cannot understand God's word. Come on. So we see that. So they have no understanding, it says, if we cannot hear or we cannot see. We have no understanding of God's word. So they can turn and so that I can heal them. The reason many are not spiritually healed, come on, because they do not turn from their sins. The reason they do not turn from their sins is because they do not understand what is going on to them. And the reason they do not understand is because what is doing going to them is because they are spiritually blind and deaf. I need to say that again. I'm chopping it up. This is pretty powerful. The reason many are not spiritually healed because they do not turn from their sins. I could stop right there. I had someone ask me the other day, do I believe in healing? And you know, I can stand in this pulpit and I could read the rest of the day and night about healing. That God in many places will say he healed all of them. See, this brother couldn't understand all of them. He couldn't understand it. He said, well, there has to be some disease that he can't heal. There has to be some things. And what he's really referring to is that not all people will be healed. But he just had it a little confused. The reason many are not spiritually healed because they do not turn from their sin. The reason they do not turn from their sin is because they do not understand what is doing to them. The reason they do not understand what is doing to them is that because they are spiritually blind and deaf. We have to open up our spiritual eyes. Come on, we have to open up our spiritual ears. We have to receive understanding. We have to get it from his word. We have to apply it here, and it has to be my standing, and it has to be who I am, and then I go out to a lost and dying world. Pastor, I just became a Christian, so you're telling me I can't go out for 3-4 years? I need to go to Bible college? No, you just need to open up your eyes and open up your ears. When you do that, you'll be ready to go. There's been people that are Christian for many, many years and they're still blind. And they still are deaf. What did we see? We saw with Paul, Saul. What did fall out of Saul's eyes? Come on, guys. We have scales in our eyes. That when he was laid hands on, actual scales fell out of his eyes. And he was able to see. Pride causes us. So the first one is spiritual blindness doesn't give us understanding. The second, pride causes spiritual blindness. We will not learn anything if we think that we know it all. That's speaking to me, guys. Not that I know it all, but I need to know. I need to know this, that my wife knows a lot of things and I need to listen to her. I need to know this. Watch out, guys, over there, you know. Am I speaking to some men here? See, God's given us a bride. And she's just not a bride for us just to say, hey, look how pretty she is. She's a bride that God's called us to lead. But in leading her, we need to understand and know that she can hear from the Lord also. And we need to give her room to speak. And we need to listen to her. And we need to let confirmation come in and through her. Amen? See, the man will be held accountable. So the wife's place should be, because her husband's going to be standing in front of Jesus, should want to be his helpmate. Amen. And she needs to also get in front of the Lord. We and moving back to the house where tragedy happened, I've shared this. The Lord told me, he told through my dad that we're going to move back to the house where three of our family members passed away. I went to the Lord and the Lord said, yes, you're going to move back. I went to my wife and I said, honey, because I knew this was a big thing to her, to the children, can you pray with me? Very quickly, she heard from the Lord, we're going to move back. We came back together and we prayed again. Have you ever done that? Well, you hear from the Lord, but hey, let's just make sure he's really speaking right. Let's just make sure he's really speaking. You know why? Because what we're going to do is just not go into a restaurant, guys. It was something very serious to us. And it was our whole life pending on it. And it was people's life. See, men, when you understand that you're standing in front of the Lord and lives are in your hands and what your decisions are making and what you're doing are affecting and hurting young kids and young people, you'll know and you'll stand in front of him humbly. He's God. Amen. We'll not learn anything that we think that we know it all. When are prideful and closed-minded, we cannot receive spiritual revelation from God's word. If you ever read a scripture and that scripture comes out and you're like angry at that scripture, there's probably something wrong on the inside. Probably something going on in here. It wasn't something that someone did to you. You probably need a check right here. You with me? Praise the Lord. I don't want to miss what God is saying. The only reason we continue to sin and have sin in our life is because of pride. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Because I'm going to do what I want to do. And this flesh is going to rise up and it's going to get what it wants. No matter who sees, no matter if no one sees, El Rohi, the God that sees, is right there. Let's look at John chapter 9, verse 39, and I wanted to finish this today. John chapter 9, verse 39 says this through 41, and Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard and said these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Bingo, you got it." Come on. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin." And you have to see this spiritually, guys. "But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. If you would just submit to me, you could not see without me. I would remove all your sin." That's what Jesus is saying. If you could just submit. If you could just admit to me that you can't see it all. And you humble yourself and you ask me to be your sight, to be your eyes, to be your ears, I would heal your sin. But you can't see. He's speaking to people that knew this word. He's speaking to people that had this word memorized. And they could speak it much even more than we could ever think about speaking it. But yet they were still blinded. And they had the Messiah. And we have to be careful to amen this. They had the Messiah right in front of them and they didn't even know him as Messiah. And he was right there, right in front of them. And they said, "Crucify him." And the Messiah, he died. I was speaking to someone yesterday, the other day, and he said, "Well, that was going to happen anyway because it was in the Old Testament. So shouldn't these guys get a stamp of approval like Judas because he made it happen?" I'm like, "Sir, let's talk about this." Spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. I want to just show you two scriptures just to end this today. Maybe three. I'm down with time. Isaiah 4, 1 through 3. Have you ever read, I believe that there's honest people in here. Have you ever read like a chapter and you just like put the Bible down and think, I have no clue what that means. Like, what in the world is happening there? Let me just move on to the next one, you know. And there's some meaning there. There's some reason why it's there. We have to ask the Lord to show us. Amen. Isaiah 4, 1 through 3. This kind of sounds like one right here. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, will you eat our own food and wear our own apparel? Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. Okay, keep reading. You know, in my life, many times it's been, all right, I kind of get that. Let's keep going. Or basically, I had no clue what was being said. Let's just look at that scripture just quickly. Let me read it again. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. If we can look in the Bible, see, this is a spiritual book. And the amazing thing about this Bible that if symbols are the same in Genesis, they're a lot of times the same in Revelation. See, this is one spirit writing this book. It wasn't a bunch of different guys. He spoke through those guys, but it's in harmony. Amen? Are you with me? So let's look. Always when you hear about women in the Word of God, anybody know what that is? Many times it's a church, the bride. So let's look at this. Seven women. In the book of Revelation, what, there's seven churches. Women are churches many times, the bride, the end time church. So see, seeing this with Revelation, you're going to spiritualize, this has a great meaning, this scripture. It's the prophet Isaiah. He just didn't prophesy things that were written down in here that didn't mean anything. That they have meaning and word for us even today. Let's continue to look. In that day, the end time church will take hold of one man. Who's that one man? The one new man, Hebrews says. That man is Jesus. They will say, we will eat our own food. Spiritual eyes is saying, guess what? We're going to teach our own gospel. We're going to teach our own lessons. We're going to take hold of you, Jesus, but we're going to do it our own way. And we will wear our own apparel. Apparel always speaks of righteousness. And we have to know this. He's the only true righteousness in us. If we come, we're filthy rags in front of him. That righteousness that you can see in me is not just something I've worked up, not something I've just tried. It's Jesus himself. So this is what the scripture is saying. In the end times, the worldly church is going to take hold of Jesus. But they will say to him, we want to teach our own lessons and we want our own form of righteousness. But let us be called by your name and take away our approach. Are we in that church right now, that end time, where many churches are doing their own thing? Let's look quickly at another one and then we'll close. Leviticus 26. Verse 26. It's what the scripture says. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. And they shall bring back your bread by weight, and it shall be, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. I love bread. You know, we can think about all this. Man, 10 women making bread, it's going to be good, you know. So just even looking back at just the last verse as we spiritually saw this, in that day when you turn away from me, I'm going to cut off your supply of bread. 10 women, 10 churches. What is the bread? The word. I'm going to cut off your supply of the word. 10 women, 10 churches will prepare your lessons in one city. They will bring back the message and measure it out according to what you get. And you will eat of it and not be satisfied. Let me say this. Many messages being preached today are being created as a series from a few different churches that are mighty churches. That are churches like This is a church that we want to look at. We're going to go ahead and buy a series, and we're going to bring that series to our church because they need it so bad. But let me tell you, that series was from God, and that series was from the church, the head that God gave that series to. Amen. And once it starts getting spread around, once that bread starts being baked like that and being spread out in measure, guess what? It's not going to satisfy us. See, if this is going to be a church that ever we're going to go to two or three services, and I have some of those coming that I'm going to speak at, probably it will be two or three different messages. And the reason why is why? Why? Because there's two or three different bodies. And see, the message today is for the body that's sitting in front of us. The message today is for you to receive. It's not always for the church next door. See, I pray that God is doing something in their church, and the man of God, the leadership, is receiving from the head, which is in heaven, and he's downloading from heaven what the body needs to receive. If we're doing it any other way, then it just becomes really, we're not pleased with what we get. And you might say, well, that's the pastor's fault. You've heard me speak so much. If something's happening with a pastor and the download's just not happening like it used to happen, you pray for him. Amen. You learn how to self-eat. You should come into this place filled because of your word that you were able to eat, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, to come to this place and get the icing on the cake. I love the cake, but I sure like the icing on it. I like those corners that are filled with icing, you know, little cake full of icing. But praise the Lord for the cake. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're only coming in here to get a word from God, praise the Lord. I believe that's why. I believe there's some in here. I believe that's why the Lord has asked us for two chapters just to read. That some of you are not hearing the message because you have blinded eyes and deaf ears. And so let the message of his word be pure. Just read it. What's going to happen is that a spiritual hunger is going to start rising on the inside of you. Let me close with this. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is the one that opens up blinded eyes. That if your eyes are blind and you have a hard time understanding, and you have a hard time, my dad would always say this. He would say, son, there's many times you need to get out of children's church and you need to come sit at the adult table. And I could say, Dad, I just don't understand. I don't understand the words you use. I don't understand. And he says, that's a good place to be. Because you're never going to understand unless you can open up your spiritual eyes. And he has went to sit on the right hand of the Father to send you the Comforter, to send you the Holy Spirit, the one that's...
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.